Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And you're going to be glad you did, because we got Stephen Little back on the show. Stephen's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of The Seven Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. And Stephen is a guy who speaks to groups all over the country, large and small, helps them understand this whole concept of growth. But Stephen, in 2009, the topic is more about survival than growth, isn't it?
Well, it is, and sometimes that's part of the growth. You know, I look back at the companies that I was president of. It isn't what we did during the good times that mattered. It's how we reacted to economic adversity that ultimately led to sustainable and profitable growth.
Any dummy can operate a business when times are great, can't they?
It's easy to milk the cash cow, and
that's exactly right.
So, but right now, it is true to say that opportunities are being created all the time. It isn't just being optimistic. It's not a rose-colored glass outlook. I truly believe that what's happening right now is creating as much opportunity as much as it is destroying others and their opportunities.
Right. Now, I agree with you. So let's talk about some of that. Now, you've been working on this for a while. You've been studying this. I know you got a new book coming out. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But what are you seeing as you travel around the country, as you talk to people? What are you seeing out there these days?
Well, I would say that I'm always a big believer in the resiliency of that business owner and that small business brain trust. But there are a couple of common things I'm seeing that are troubling. They fall into two categories, Jim. One is, and you've probably run into it too, what I call the overcompensator, the guy or the gal that gets scared and does too much, overcompensates in some way that actually ends up hurting them. And then
give us an example.
Well, for instance, you've never had cash flow problems, and you come in one day, and you've got a staff of five, and you say, I don't care if they're at 31 days, our terms are net 30, cut them all off.
Oh, I see.
And you end up losing customers that you've taught to pay you in 45 days because it never mattered to you before.
You're basically talking about overreacting.
Overreacting, overcompensating for whatever the concern is at the moment. Exactly.
Yep.
And I see an awful lot of it in an awful lot of ways, whether it's, we've got too many employees, get rid of half of them when maybe two of them would be better. And so
do you think big companies have done this? I think large companies have done this more than small businesses have.
Well, they have more of an ability to do it, The analogy I would use is a boat. When a small craft is weaving and bobbing and turning and doing S-turns down a channel, it can get away with it. When the great big boat is trying to make gigantic corrections, it just causes havoc. So, the bigger ones, it's more apparent. But I'll tell you what, I hear it every day in the voice of the panicked and the embattled. And so overcompensation is definitely the enemy. And then the opposite is that status quo. The people, Jim, see, maybe you've heard this before, and for all I know, you've said it, and I'll offend you, but I promise I'm just trying to help. I hear every day, you see if you've heard this every day. Every day someone says to me this as I travel the country. They say, I'm refusing not to participate. I'm going to not participate in this recession. I refuse to participate in this recession.
Right.
And I just don't know what that means. I don't.
Well, let me tell you what I said. I said that back in April and May and March of 2008. But that was when I thought we had a chance to have a blip on the radar like we did in 1990 and get out of this. That's when I thought. I didn't realize how much the cards were stacked against
sense.
Us. But my audience knows that since August and September, they haven't heard me say that anymore.
Yeah, well, there you go. Because I was going to say, I didn't know you had said that, but I just knew I had heard it so often. The way it hits my ears since about November, as you say, is that you're saying you're not seeing that the opportunities are being created by change. There's so much change happening that to not participate means that you're being status quo.
And it also means you might be in denial.
Exactly. And you're putting your head in the sand. And either way, you're hoping for a return to normalcy or normality, whatever your word wants to be. There is going to be no return to anything. It's going to change.
Right.
It's just a question of what's it going to look like. And so
the future.
Those are the big ones I'm seeing right now. Overcompensation or doing nothing.
Right. Well said. Well, and I, you know, back about November, December of last year, you know, I've been through enough of these like you have, Steve. I knew what we were looking at. I knew it was not going to be pretty. And I started talking about some other things, which I want to mention when we come back. And I want to get your idea on where we're going, folks. Steven has this ability to help us with this, and he's going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Little Chicago bringing us back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. We've got thousands of archives, thousands of articles, hundreds and hundreds of Brain Trust members like our good friend Stephen Little, who joins us on a regular basis to help us do a better job of running our businesses and growing our businesses. Lots of folks there who contribute to the information on our website a lot of different ways. My knowledge base, askjim.biz, is one click away. My blog is one click away. By the way, I encourage you to check it out. The post I put up yesterday is on the day that General Motors declared bankruptcy. I wrote about how that's could be a cautionary tale for small businesses, and so I hope you'll check that out. And then, of course, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which you can do right there off the homepage. And if you're on Twitter, you want to follow me, you can do that at Jim Blasingame. So check that out. Stephen Little is our guest. He's our good friend. He's the author of a number of books, including The 7 Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth, and another one, a brand new one that's coming out in a couple of weeks. Stephen, tell us about it.
Yeah, it's called Duck and Recover, The Embattled Business Owner's Guide to Survival and Growth. And the idea was that to get yourself in a position to take advantage of opportunity, you got to duck a little bit. And but ducking doesn't mean defensive or getting into putting your head in the sand. Ducking, in my mind, is analogous to how you duck in sports. Getting yourself in the ready position to then seize opportunity.
Right. And I can't wait to get my autographed copy, by the way, of the new book. And
so you'll be first on the list, as you know. Yeah, absolutely. And
that'll be at bookstores in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, should be in all your major finer retailers by about June 15th. Yeah.
That sounds good. We'll look forward to that. You know, Stephen, we were talking earlier about this. You were talking about, you know, I don't know what it means when somebody says I refuse to participate. About December of this last year, I wanted to make sure that, as you kind of indicated in the previous segment, I wanted to make sure that people weren't in denial. I knew that we were headed for some rough waters. And I started telling my audience that a goal for 2009 that I encouraged them to think about was to be able to open their doors on January 1, 2010. In other words, first, make sure you survive 2009. But I also, I said, operate for survival. But then I said, but because of the opportunities that you're going to tell us about in a second, I want you to talk about that. I said, you've got to operate for survival, but you need to plan for success. What do you think?
I like it very much, and it's very much how the book is put together. The entire first section is about ducking or putting yourself in a position to survive so that you can indeed realize the opportunities that are afforded you right now by change. And so, you know, it is in my mind, a two-step process. It's riding the ship. It's getting yourself in the right position. And so, there's no question that gigantic opportunities are being created, and they fall in some pretty, you know, major categories. But it all really stems.
Give us some examples of opportunities.
The biggest by far is the idea of filling market vacuums. That vacuums are going to be created by attrition, where you know, you brought up GM just now. That's going to create all kinds of market vacuums.
Right.
And from the big players, of course, there's vacuums created, but all the way down to service and parts, and it's going to affect everything. So opportunity right there with then there's also just the changing demographics and the world in which we live, mm-hmm. and that changes the needs of the marketplace. Things are being done. People are moving differently. The types of people that are moving are different, and geographies are shifting. All of it creates market vacuums, new needs that people can fill if they just look at it properly.
Well, I agree with you, and I'll tell you, those new needs is something that I want to make sure people are paying attention to, because these are new opportunities, things that are it won't really be something all that new. It'll just be a new way of looking at something. Stephen, one of the things I've reminded people
thing.
Exactly.
Yep.
I one of the things I've been saying is, it's okay to fall in love with what you do, but it's not okay to fall in love with how you do it. What do you think about that?
That's pretty good, yeah. In fact, I got a great example. It's a quick story, Jim. I worked for years on Pearl Vision Centers at their national
right.
advertising agency. They were the first national player for one-stop eyewear eye care. In
right.
the recession of the early
in
80s, we were doing their advertising, and that's when LensCrafters started. Two stores in Cincinnati, Ohio. They poo-pooed them and said they're nothing because they're going to do glasses in about an hour. No one cares about that. They care about the care, the quality, mm-hmm. the grinding, and the frames. Well, they were right. Their customers did care about those things. But eventually, LensCrafters became, within just a matter of short matter of time, they got bought by U.S. Shoe. By beating them on the convenience idea, which they didn't perceive to be, there's no need for greater convenience, the glasses in about an hour became a huge idea, whereas I was in the meetings where it was poo-pooed as not that big a deal. And now they're owned by the same company, but LensCrafters became the bigger of the two in less than 10 years.
Well, the thing is, it seems to me, though, Stephen, the key is not to what, you know, people who you know, I don't buy glasses in an hour. When I buy glasses, I expect to wait a week because I'm doing business with a company, you know, that does it different than that. I don't mind waiting a while. I think the key is, to me, is to do what it is that you do best and make that something that people want and find people who want that. And sell it to only them. Don't worry about everybody else.
Well, that's one way. The other way is that we've already tapped out the segmentation that is your marketplace. And, of course, with our small business owners, they haven't reached that point. But maybe they have in their
right.
geography. And so, in this case, it was a national player where there
right.
was nowhere else to go. They already had it covered.
Exactly.
And the convenience factor was growing. It went from being 2% of the country to being over 25%. It said
hold on to that thought. I got to take a quick break, folks. Stephen Little and I will be right back. When you wake up in the morning, little ZZ Top brings back. Welcome back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasky, the small business advocate, visiting with our good friend Stephen Little, the author of The Seven Irrefutable Laws. I'm sorry, The Seven Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. And he is also the author of the new book, which I'm going to get him to remind us about. I don't have it in front of me. So, Stephen, what's that title again?
It's even available on Amazon today, and you can get it at your local bookstores in a couple of weeks. It's Duck and Recover, The Embattled Business Owner's Guide to Survival and Growth.
Stephen, one of the things, and you give us your own website, too, by the way.
And that is www, of course, Stephen with a V, middle initial S, like Sterling, Little.
StephenSLittle.com.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Check it out, folks. Stephen, I've been saying for some time now that 2009 is going to be like a bookend between the old era of business and the new era of business. I think 2009 is going to be a year that just transitions us from the old to the new. And I think we are heading into a new era. And if I'm correct, that's going to create a lot of turmoil, maybe even a little bit of chaos, certainly some volatility.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, I think volatility means, and certainly we have it. I've never seen volatility quite like this, and including after 9/11. And as a result, you could have gigantic upswings or downswings in the next 10 years based on the pivotal point of time that is happening to us right now. And I'll give you an example, Jim. That I heard this the other day from an economist, and it just blew me away. In 2006, just, you know, what, 3 short years ago, there was not one day when the Dow or the S&P 500 was up or down 2%. In 2009, already, it's happened 26 times.
Right.
Now, that was 2 weeks ago. Maybe it's happened more again. I think yesterday it was close, right? So, you know, 26 times. When you have that kind of volatility, that is a reflection on what's happening, not just in the stock market, but in the world and in my even in the small world I travel in. And as a result, when people say, what's going to happen 5 years from now? I can paint you the gigantic doomsday scenario, and I can paint you the huge upside, woo, we dodged a bullet scenario. That's what volatility creates, is tremendous uncertainty in markets. And that's true for small business owners right now. A lot of uncertainty, but a lot of opportunity. There's going to be winners and losers, no question.
But if you're,
and I think you're right, it's a pivotal point in time right now.
But back to what I said in the last segment, and I've been saying that for a long time, fall in love with what you do. That's okay, but don't fall in love with how you do it. People are still going to need shoestrings. They've been using shoestrings for 200 years. They're still going to be needing shoestrings in 5 or 10 years from now, but they're going to acquire those shoestrings differently. So you got to, the people who are going to survive are the ones who are capable of being flexible in a volatile world. What do you think?
I agree with that, and I also believe the only ones to survive are those who challenge their most closely held beliefs. The most closely held beliefs they have about what it takes to grow a business like theirs, and also what's happening now. I'm hearing a lot of these bromides, these axioms. People who've never been in a downturn before as business owners are for the first time maybe relying on others, outside informants, just family and friends, who are giving them advice that doesn't apply to them. The new book starts off with a quote from one of my heroes. I know you love him too, Mark Twain. Mark Twain once said, all generalizations are false, including this one. And what I'm hearing right now is a lot of generalizations as it relates to the what a business owner should be doing. It there's too many of them, Jim. There's too many things that people say every day that are kind of easy to swallow, easy to believe, that don't apply to you. And I look for those. And if you want to hear about a few of them, I'd love to tell you about some of them because there's a lot of them.
Well, I got a minute. Give us one of them.
One would be that... if you, it costs 5 times more to get a new customer than an existing customer, so you should stick with just your core base and don't worry about customer acquisition right now. Mm. I don't know where this myth came from, but I've been in businesses where it's 20-1. I've been in businesses where it's a 1-1 ratio. I even have a customer right now where it costs them more to keep their current customers because they got bad customers. If GM's one of your major customers, you got to go get new customers. It doesn't matter what it costs.
But you're not saying. That you shouldn't love up and take care of the customers you already have.
What I find is people use an excuse, though. They say, we're going to shut off the new customer acquisition and only concentrate on our existing customers, and that is not a good idea in certain markets and certain types of products. There are certain times when it makes sense for you to continue to do, maybe even increase your amount of going after new business when your competition has stopped doing it.
Hey, Stephen, well said. Thank you for being here. Will you come back again real soon?
Oh, please have me. It was as soon as possible.
We'll do it again real soon. Stephen Little, we're going to talk some more about this new book, too, by the way. Duck and Recover is the title. Available on Amazon and soon to be wherever books are sold. Stephen will be back. I will be, too, but it'll be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blassie again. Right, thanks for hanging out with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.